time of prayer this afternoon because a few minutes ago surgery started up on Brother Joey, which is Sister Becky Massey's, some of her family and Hannah. They were sitting still in a Ford pickup truck, and a car came up behind them, never slowing up, and hit them in the back. And so Brother Joey's got a brain bleed, and they're doing surgery on him as a few minutes ago. And so also Hannah, I want you to remember both of these, and also want to remember Bob Carroll as well, as he's still recovering from his heart attack, and Ray Dean, that has three places in the back of his heart that they won't be able to get to. And I'm going to talk to him right after I get off the air here in a little while to see more about that. But I want you to remember all of these needs tonight. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you to be the great physician over their lives. And Lord, as you give peace into each and every one of them, knowing that, Lord, that you are guiding the hands of the surgeon, the anesthesiologist, everything that's taking place, we just lift up and we just put into your special care, Father, tonight, that you'll guide the hands of the surgeon, that they relieve this brain bleed on Joey, Lord, with Hannah. Lord, that you will help her in her recovery of the pain that she's going through. Also, Ray Dean, Lord, with these places in his heart that they're not going to be able to reach to, Father, where he's had blockages, he's had kidney problems, Lord. And Lord, I pray, God, as he's just recently got saved, I pray, God, that you'll just watch over him as he goes into surgery in the morning, Father. Give him comfort and give him peace. Lord, Brother Bob Carroll, continue to surround him with your angels. And Lord, keep him, Lord, safe as he recovers and gets his strength back, Lord, from a blockage of 90% in his heart. Lord, I ask, God, that you'll just take all of these and, Lord, just keep them under your watchful eye. And everything that's said and done, that we lift them up to your special care tonight. Help us, Lord, as we break the bread of life under the sheepfold tonight. And Lord, all that we say and do, may we give glory and honor to Jesus Christ, Father. For you're the one that can give us protection. You're the shield against all things in this walks of life. And we can always rely on you. And Lord, tonight we just give thanks and praise, knowing that you'll intervene on the behalf of each and every one of these. Joey, Hannah, Lord, Ray Dean, Bob Carroll. Lord, even Brother Jenkins, Eugene Jenkins and their family, and all the needs within our church, we ask tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you. This is Pastor Darrell Bailey coming to you live. As we want to invite each and every one of you to come and be with us at People's Valley Baptist Church. We're located at 68 Leopard Lane, Cartersville, Georgia. 10 o'clock Sunday morning of Sunday school, 11 o'clock morning worship. No Sunday nights as yet. We're on Facebook. And Wednesday night, I'm on Facebook. Brother Bob Carroll is being out in the Facebook, out in the fellowship hall on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. Now, don't know if he'll be back this Wednesday night because he's still getting his strength and recovery. But I want you to just lift them up and all these needs that we've mentioned tonight. Take your Bibles over to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. And while you're turning over there, this morning, I want to send a happy birthday out to Easton New. His birthday will be July the 28th. He's going to be 4 years old. Damian West will be 17 as well, July the 31st, along with Wendell Hopgood. He'll be his birthday will be the last day of July as well. We just want to send a great birthday wish out to them. And also a happy anniversary, a belated happy anniversary to Daryl and Mary Pruitt, which was July the 23rd as well. And so please, today, in memory of Hugh Bradley, July the 29th, 2020, Brother Hugh Bradley, we miss him so much and all of their family, Helen Bradley as well, and what a blessing that they've been to us. And so take your Bibles over to Genesis chapter 15, Genesis chapter 15, and we'll read as we go. But I thank God, I want to speak tonight on receiving a response from God. Receiving a response from God, amen. I thank God as we begin to look tonight, each and every one of us, as we go through life and begin to realize how truly blessed that we are, that we can get down on our knees and ask something of the Lord, especially in times of a need where there's health care, financial burden, stress. And I thank God. Some psychologists believe that it's possible to even judge a person's personality by the shape and the size of their ears, believe it or not. Large and rounded ears show a strong nature that's concerned about truth, ideas, and ambition. I can just imagine now if I was preaching this in church, there'd be people looking around at others' ears, and they'd be trying to figure out what's going on, you know. But I thank God, let's just look in the mirror at our own ears. But large and rounded ears show a strong nature that is concerned about truth and ideas and ambition. Excessively large and fleshly ears point to a proud and pretentious nature. Small ears point to a careful and a prudent person who has willpower and perseverance. Oval ears, well-formed, show wisdom. They love to study, and they have a desire for perfection. Ears that have the cauliflower shape and not well-formed reveal frustrated, vulgar people without ideas or charm. If the right ear is larger than the left, the person acts in instinctive ways, a fantasy stronger than reason. If the left ear is larger than the right, the person is a cerebral type who never decides things casually. But, you know, I'm not sold on the fact that you can judge a person or a personality by the size of their ears. Amen? And so I'm not all that interested in the size of a person's ears tonight as we talk about receiving a response from God. But I thank God, each and every one of us, but I am interested in how that we can use our ears to listen for God's response. And so someone said that God gave us two ears and one mouth, amen, that they're to be used in that portion, amen. I thank God, each and every one of us, when it comes to listening, you may be like the two men that were talking, and there was one man that he said, you know, my wife talks to herself a very good bit. And his friend answered, well, mine does too, but she doesn't know it. She thinks that I'm listening. And so according to the Physicians Weekly, hearing declines approximately twice as fast in men as in women. According to a study by the National Institute on Aging, men from 30 to 80 years old have poor hearing than women the same age. And when it comes to our spiritual ears, it's important that we have good hearing, amen. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 10, he says, hear the word of the Lord, give ear unto the law of the Lord. I think Charles Stanley said, one of the most wonderful things out of his book, How to Listen to God. And I quote him, he said, I wonder how many times God has spoken to us and we were not listening. I wonder how many times he had something specific that we needed to hear, but we were too occupied to pay attention. And I believe that one of the most valuable lessons that we can ever learn is how to listen to God, unquote. You know, why is it important? Why is it important that we have good spiritual hearing? I tell you, why is it important to listen to God? It's because that is what he has to say to each and every one of us, is there is a word that we may desperately need to hear. There is a word from God that we desperately need to hear. We need to be able to listen to that. There was a word that Abram received from God that was the very word that he needed. As I speak to you out of Genesis chapter 15 tonight, it was a personal word. It was a precious word, and it was just what he needed to hear. Maybe, Brother Ray Dean, there is a word that you need to listen for that the Lord is going to tell you. Amen. All the families of Joey and Hannah, there's a word that you need to be listened to that's going to give you peace, the knowing that you're under the hand of the surgeon, and God is watching over your care. Brother Bob Carroll, there's a word that we'll listen to that just for you that the Lord wants to speak. Peace and blessings upon your heart, that you continue forward to do the work of the Lord, amen. And so here, Abram received a response from God, amen. In verse 1, it was about his safety. And it was also in verses 2 through 6 about an heir, because he had been given a promise that he would have a seed that would be the one that would take, and it would be a blessing to each and every one of the future generations that would be the legacy of the nation of Israel. Amen. One of the first things that we see here tonight is it was a timely response that strengthened Abraham's heart. In verse 1, the Bible says, and after these things, notice, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceedingly great reward. Now, I thank God, here when we begin to listen to ourselves sometimes. Abraham was focusing on some things because this chapter deals with his emotions, including the horrors that all of us have at times when there's a great darkness that overshadows us. maybe in times of surgery, that we have a fear. People with faith also have feelings, and feelings sometimes cannot be ignored. God created us in His image. And I thank God in doing so, we have emotions, we have feelings, and especially when our family members are going through the hand of the surgeon, that those are times that our emotions really get the best of us a lot of times. And so as we're made in the image of God, I thank God every one of us fight battles. Here, right before chapter 15, in chapter 14, Abram had to fight a battle. He had to go after his nephew Lot because he had got into trouble over in Sodom and Gomorrah. And after the mountaintop comes the valleys all the time. And so each and every one of us, we've got to be able to listen to God. Every one of us, as we listen to our feelings and realize that God knows more about things than any one of us. He doesn't mind us asking. But I thank God He tells us here in Hebrews 15:2, and Abram said, Lord God, what will thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? You see, if there was no inheritance, if there was no child, his head steward, Eliezer, would get everything. But he had been promised by God that they would be an heir to everything. Amen. And so I thank God all that Abraham could do was believe the promises that God had given to him. Because in verse 6 of chapter 15, the Bible says, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Boy, I thank God each and every one of us, we've got to believe God even no matter what. The wisdom of Proverbs 25, verse 11, the Bible says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Solomon is talking about a word that is spoken at the right time, in the right way. And I thank God he's speaking of a word given at a specific time, that it's a word needed at a specific time. And that's exactly what Abraham needed to hear. Abraham needed a word that was fitly spoken. And when God's word came to him, it was like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Amen. It was a word that was fitly spoken. The moment that Abraham heard from God in verses 1 through 6, amen. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision. Man, he said, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceedingly great reward. Thank God, that's the times that we need to be listening for these things. What he had encountered back in chapter 14 with Kedorlaomer, which was the fight that he had, the king of Elam and his allies. Abraham had a small army of 318 men that they had went all night, and they defeated them. They chased them for more than 120 miles. You can only imagine how physically distressed all of this had been. I can hear Abram saying that when he got back, I need a vacation. I need a vacation. I need to get out of all this stress. How many of us have that mental and emotional and physical stress that we're totally exhausted at times? It had been a spiritually disappointing time, that the whole thing had been over his nephew Lot, of the trouble that he had got into the city of Sodom. You know, after this was over with, you know, his heart was broken. He was deeply grieved. How that it must have disappointed Abram. What was there about this victory if a brother was still held by sin's chain? Because he thought, well, you know, his nephew would have got out of Sodom and Gomorrah. But after he got him back from the enemies, he went back over there. Ain't it funny that our family members, we pray for them about a lot of things, and they're constantly getting back over in the city of the enemy, over where the dwelling of Satan is at, instead of getting victory and getting out of that mess and getting out of that situation around those people that caused all this problem. Man, I'm going to tell you, Paul, Abram was disappointed because his nephew Lot went right back over in that same Sodom and Gomorrah situation. It's horrible. The psalmist said in Psalms 85:8, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. God knows when we need to hear from him, and he knows when his word will be fitly spoken for us. He knows when we're at our lowest and our neatest. I thank God each and every one of us, as the psalmist tells us from time to time, amen. I don't have it marked, but give me just a minute and I'll bring it up, amen. I believe it was Psalms 147 that the Word of God tells us in verses 3 and 4. He says, and I speak this Psalms, this scripture over Ray Dean. I speak it over Joey and Hannah. I speak it over Bob Carroll. In Psalms 147, verses 3 and 4, he says, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. And he telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Boy, I thank God. You know what that means? If he knows the stars by names, he knows who Bob Carroll is. He knows exactly who Joey is that's having surgery. He knows who Hannah is by name. He knows who Ray Dean is by name. He knows who Eugene Jenkins is by name. He can call them by name right now. He knows who you are, praise God. He named all the stars that's in the skies, praise God. And so I thank God. We see that the moment that Abraham heard from God, he was relieved. He had peace. There was a message Abraham heard from God. Amen. And God not only knows when we need to hear from him, but he knows what we need to hear from him. Amen. The timing of his word is not only fitly spoken, but the truth of his word is fitly spoken for all of us. Amen. God told Abraham that he was his protection. And God said in verse 1, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield. And so I thank God, each and every one. Maybe Abram thought about this amazing victory, and he thought to himself, you know, I don't know if I could do that again. You know, I don't know if I could survive all of that again. Abraham was reminded that God was his protector. He was his shield, praise God. Martin Luther once said, where would you find safety if the Elector of Saxony were to desert you? Luther replied, under the shield of heaven, unquote. I thank God, each and every one of us, even the Greek mythology of Achilles, the Grecian warrior Achilles, was said that his body was protected from head to toe, but the only vulnerable spot was on the body was his heels. As the story goes, one day while he was engaged in battle, Achilles was wounded in his heel with a poisonous arrow and died of his wound. When God is our shield, he's our total protection. I thank God. And while engaged in battle, each and every one of us, we have nothing to fear. He's our shield and he's our protector, praise God. God told Abraham that he was his provision, not only his shield, but he was his reward, amen. God is saying, I will always be with you when you need me. And when you need me, I'm your reward and I'm your provision. Thomas Watson said one time, he said, God is a whole ocean of blessedness, which while the soul is bathing in it, cries out in divine ecstasy, and I have enough, unquote. Boy, I thank God, each and every one of us, when we realize that in the book, God's Power to Triumph, the story told of Helen Ken. In her testimony, she told of how her life had been sheltered and somewhat pampered by her family. She was the youngest of five children. She had never known being alone by herself ever. She had never been by herself. She didn't even have a key to the house because somebody always opened the door before she got there. She suddenly found herself in an empty house one day. Two of her family members had died. Three of her sisters had been taken from her. And she had never even had loneliness and experienced it ever before. But now there was no one. For a few weeks, a niece stayed with her. But the time came when she had to leave. And she drove her to the station. She drove back home and she sat in the driveway for the loneliness dreading to go into the house because she was all alone. She had never been alone. Always she had had somebody with her. Finally, she steadied herself for the first time in her life and she walked into the house all alone. And as she walked up to the steps, she prayed, oh God, help me. Oh God, help me. The first thing that she did when she got inside, she turned the radio on. And there was a sound that come into the empty, silent rooms of that house. And she walked to the closet to hang up her coat. Over the radio, she began to hear, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. The old-fashioned revival hour quartet singing came on the radio. Hallelujah. Boy, she said, and I quote, to me it was the very voice of God in answer to the cry of my heart. I realized as never before that my Lord was there with me and that I was never alone. All my life, I had depended on my family for companionship. And from that moment, I learned to depend on Him. Sister Sheba Sr., we send that out to you, praise God, because You're never alone, even though that one time you were surrounded by family, but now you have absolutely no one of your family that comes around you. But I thank God. God is our provision. You have your church family. And God knows what we need to hear when we need to hear it, praise God. And so in verses 1 through 6, we see here that it was all about being a safety and being a hair, because it was a timely response that responded and strengthened the heart of Abram. But secondly, Abraham received this response from God in verses 7 all the way down to verse 21. It was a truthful response that settled his heart when he needed it, amen. As verse 1 read, that the word of the Lord came to him, amen. Notice down in verse 4, it read again that the word of the Lord came to him. It says, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he shall come forth out of thy own bowels and shall be thy heir. Boy, I thank God. God says, I'm going to promise you flesh and blood heir. You're not going to have to take one of your stewards. You're not going to have to make one of them. Here, the first time, it was a timely word that strengthened his heart. The second time, it was a truthful word that settled his heart. An apprehension that Abraham revealed, amen, to him. No sooner than God strengthened his heart than when he had settled his heart about that matter. That's what God can do when we feel uptight about situations, surgeries, and things that are taking place, amen. God had told Abraham in Genesis 13:16 that he was going to have a prosperity of numbers as the dust of the earth, and Abraham had believed that. He's going to have future generations to come, but the years were quickly passing by, and he still had no child. And we know that Abraham was 75 when he left Ur of the Chaldees, and later learned that he was 86 when he had a child by Hagar. Then, that was a difference of 11 years. At the present, he's now somewhere in between 5 to 7 years have passed since God had given him that promise. And Abraham says to God, God, hey, you remember what you told me about having a son, an heir, a future generation? I still don't have a son, and I'm still childless. And if I died right now, Eliezer would inherit everything that I have. And Lord, I don't have an inheritance. I don't have a son. Abraham was not arguing with God, but he was questioning God. But he was just concerned about the fulfillment of God's promise in his life. And he's a lot like every one of us, amen, when it comes to God's promises. We claim God's promises, but if we're not fulfilled when we think that we are, we begin to question about what God is doing. God, where are you? Are you still going to answer that promise? Are you still going to come through me? And so there was an apprehension about Abraham that needed to be revealed, but the assurance that Abraham received, amen, God settled in Abraham's heart the promise that he had made him. And there were two things that God did to let him know of what he said was true, amen. Well, I thank God that it was that promise, amen. And so I thank God. First time, it was that godly. But that apprehension that he gave him, praise God, that he began to reassure him of the promises that he needed, amen, from each and every one of us as we look and realize that God was going to provide what he needed in the time that he needed it, amen. And all of the things that God had done, amen, we begin to realize that when Abraham heard from God, he looked toward the heavens and his faith in God's promise was settled. Because I thank God, he said in verse 6, and he believed in the Lord and he counted it for him righteousness, amen. Boy, I thank God. God not only repeated the promise, but he ratified that promise. And he said, you ain't got to worry about it. Because all the way down, he says in verse 7, and he said unto him, I'm the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And I thank God he told him in verse 9, and he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and she goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. He goes on in verse 10, and he took unto him all these things, and divided them in the midst, and he laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. He goes on in verse 11, and when the fowls came down upon the carcass, Abram drove them off. He was protecting them. And in verse 12, and when the sun was gone down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of the surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. You know what he said? He said, your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land down in Egypt. When Joseph goes down there and saves them and rescues them from starvation, they will be slaves there and be treated cruelly for 400 years. But he goes on in verse 14, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. Amen. He's telling them the future, praise God. But he goes on in verse 15, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. Amen. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between them pieces. Amen. In the same day, in verse 18, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. He goes on, he says, he tells him this, that God is going to give him the land. And Abraham asked, how would he know when he would inherit it? Amen. He says, he's going to give you a covenant. He says, you're going to take these animals, and because you're in a vision of this, that you're not walking down in between them, betwixt with me, it means that I'm the only one walking down. This covenant that I bind with you is that you ain't got to do anything to receive this covenant of my promise. All you've got to do is receive it. But I'm the only one that's walking down between these pieces of these animals. My covenant to you, and binding that I'm responsible, and it is my promise to you that I'll give you peace, and it shall be so of the land and of the children of generations to come. And so I thank God. The covenant is based on who God is. He says, I'm your shield, praise God. I'll provide the cover and protection to the body during warfare, amen. I will provide, I thank God. He promised Abram that when trouble came, that he would be there. And when enemies surrounded him, that they would not touch him, amen. And when the battle came, that he would fight for him, amen. I thank God he's there in the hand of the surgeon right now. He's on the battlefield fighting for those that are lonely and that they need a protection from him. He's there helping those ones through the time of aid. Abraham stood guard over these sacrifices, but he fell asleep. Now thank God, as we look and realize, of all the purity that was symbolized in the smoking furnace, the burning lamp, which symbolized the holiness of God's promise that he made to Abram during that time, that I thank God that as God walked between the pieces, not Abraham, but God, he says, I'm sufficient. You don't have to walk, because this is the promise that I make to you. This is the promise that I make to you. And I thank God, each and every one of us, he says, my word is true, and I ratify, he says in verse 18. Listen what he says. And he says, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. He said, I ratify this, amen. I give this land. God said, my word is true, and I ratify it by this oath, amen. Boy, I thank God, each and every one of us, as we realize, I'm reminded of Amy Carmichael, that was born in Ireland in December the 16th, 1867. As a young girl, she gave her heart to Christ, and she became a diligent Christian. But in 1895, she went to India and served there until her death in January the 18th, 1951. In India, she began a home in which she would take in thousands of girls that would be rescued from the Hindu temples, where they had worked from everything from cleaners to prostitutes. And thousands of girls that she took in and rescued. Amy Carmichael never asked for funds, but always went into her prayer closet, and she asked God to meet their needs. She would always come from her place of prayer with the assurance that God would keep his promise. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. In 1931, Amy Carmichael was suffered an accident that was confined to her room as an invalid. But even in her infant condition, she continued to minister. The people who came to see her always lived blessed. Many would come and lay the needs of the mission before her, and she would cast them at the foot of the cross. God always meets every need according to his promise, amen. And I tell you, in her work in India, that began with one day God spoke to her in a special way that said, Amy, India, God obeyed God. She obeyed God. And 56 years were given to the work of missions in India, in that land. She found that when God spoke, that he would always do what he said. And so if God ever speaks to you, then you can rest assured that he will do exactly what he says he would do. He's your shield, and he's your protection. And so I thank God, each and every one of you, as we pray and close, I hope and pray that each and every one of you out there, that you can preach a better message with your life than you can with your lips. on behalf of People's Valley Baptist Church, this is Pastor Darrell Bailey, as we send out the message to those ones receiving a response from God. You've got to listen. Doesn't matter what kind of ears you've got, as long as you've got the spiritual ears to listen to the message that God has. Father, thank you for the time. Thank you for the Word of God that we send out to People's Valley. And for those that are listening out there today, we ask the blessings that you'll reach out to them. And Lord, work a miracle in the making on their behalf. And all of this, we want to thank you for our special children that made this, that we have reflected up here tonight. For the flowers, for the wonderful appreciation that was given to my wife and I today. Lord, for these past 21 years at People's Valley Baptist Church that we've been serving there. And it seems like it was just yesterday. Thank you, Father, for all that you say and do and give and respond and the covenant of binding that you make as our shield and protector for all of us each and every day. In Jesus' marvelous mighty name.